Hi, this is Jamar Wakefield, producer of the Bright Moments podcast. For more than 40 years, Dorothon Kirk has been a major force at WBGO, Newark Public Radio, and she has the stories to prove it. Stories about her husband, Rahsaan Roland Kirk, her love of jazz, and her community, Newark, New Jersey. I'm so thankful that her stories will now be shared with the world. Each episode is based on a memory and a photograph that Dorothon Kirk considers to be a bright moment. Dorothon Kirk and I are here at 54 Wayne Shorter Way in WBGO Studios. We are looking at a photograph, a black and white one, captured by Bill May in 1984. From left to right, you see poet Amiri Baraka, artist and activist Amina Baraka, Nina Simone, jazz vocalist Abby Lincoln, and our very own Dorothon Kirk, affectionately known as DK.
This photograph is really historic. And I have to start by telling you that during this particular time, Nina Simone was going through her personal issues with her mental health. And so at this time, this photo is taken at a reception at the Baraka's house. I'll get back to that. Before this, WBGO had received a phone call one day from a person in the community and said they had seen Nina Simone sitting on a park bench in Central Park. And whenever calls like that came in, by the way, I was the receptionist. That was very early on. This photograph is in the 80s, but Bill May has the exact date, and I have the date on the back of the original photograph. So I was the receptionist at that time. That's how I started out here, because remember, I was the third person hired here. Okay. So I got the phone call. So I talked to the man and I said, you know, I don't know what WBGO can do.
But why would they call WBGO?
Because Nina was a jazz artist. And I guess the person called WBGO for help because, and I can't remember the complete conversation, but he wanted somebody, quote unquote, to rescue her.
Now, you might be curious why someone would call WBGO. I know I was. But let's take it back for a second. The answer sits at the intersection of three important histories. One, the history and founding of WBGO, also known as Newark Public Radio. Two, the realities of Black life in America in the late 70s, early 80s. And three, the reality of life as a Black musician, a Black jazz musician to be specific, during this era. Now, despite the fact that WBGO Newark Public Radio was only a few years old at the time this photo was taken, it had already become a community hub and sanctuary for jazz artists and Black people. When the photo was taken, cities like Newark still faced challenges despite the advancements in civil rights that had been made in the last two decades. High unemployment rates, systemic racism, police brutality, economic disparities persisted. And so we needed sanctuaries. We needed safe spaces. Just like that which was being created in the Baraka's home that night, WBGO was creating within the community. The message? Jazz artists are welcomed here. At the time the photo was taken, we know that jazz served as a powerful platform to share stories, express identities, and assert artistic freedom. That creative freedom was not always translated in the real world. Jazz artists still struggled for pay equity and experienced discrimination. So WBGO becomes a home for all jazz artists.
So I got in touch with Amina and Amiri, because I'm friends of theirs. And to make a very long story short, they found her in Central Park and brought her to their house. So She was staying with them at the time.
You found me just in time and changed my lonely nights that lucky day.
I can't remember how long she stayed there, but she was staying with them.
Here in Newark.
Here in Newark. Mm-hmm. I used to be over there a lot, which is stories unto itself. Because Amina and I, we're still close, but back then we were very close. But you know, times, situations, and what have you make you not be as close as before. And I haven't been in as touch with her as I should have since Amiri died. But anyhow, this was at the house. Amina used to tell me stories about Nina's behavior.
Okay.
I'll give you an example. She went around the house and gathered up all of her albums. Amina and Amiri gave her a room on the second floor, which is where their bedrooms were. And she gathered up all of her albums that they had that were in their private collection, took them upstairs and put them in the room and said, these are my albums. I'm keeping them. I'm keeping them because they're mine. Remember, she was going through whatever her mental issues were then.
Not a lot of understanding about mental health.
Practically nothing.
Right.
And it still leaves a lot to be desired. This day was a reception at the Baraka's house on a Sunday afternoon. And the reception was prior to Abby's performance that yours truly produced. And you know, I have the CD in my little bag over here. A CD of that performance. I found the CD. And interestingly enough, the person that's archiving the audio here at WBGO, Becca, just recently, she emailed me and told me she had found the original copy.
Here's a little bit about Becca. She produced many shows for WBGO and NPR, including NPR's Toast of the Nation, hosted by Michael Bourne, for several years. At the time this photo was taken, she produced Jazz Set, a nationally syndicated radio show hosted by D.D. Bridgewater, which was on for 23 years. Abby Lincoln's performance was broadcast on Jazz Set.
In a sentimental mood.
I'm going to start with the venue. There was a man named Ernie Howard in Orange, New Jersey, which is just a few miles up the road from here. And he had a complex with different rooms in it that everybody in the African-American community attended.
Now, the interesting thing about the Peppermint Lounge is that it was also a sanctuary. Not only was it a space for Black people to gather for jazz, but house music, R&B, soul, and even comedy. It's a place where you could let your hair down, and the music would take away the troubles of the day.
Now, let me try to give you a picture. On the first floor was the Peppermint Lounge and Bar. That was one room. Across the hallway from there was the Peppermint Ballroom, which is a really, really large room that he did big events in. On Tuesdays, the lounge used to have jazz, because now I know some young people who are in their 40s who used to come on Tuesday nights with their parents, and they were in, I guess, high school back there. Some are the Steins, James Gibbs, Anthony Nelson. I knew them all as kids.
Oh my goodness.
They all have kids. Then there was the dining room. And the dining room, you could either sit, and it also had an area where you could come and just take out. Then they had a smaller room upstairs, and I want to say it was called the mint room, but I'd have to ask somebody, don't quote me. And in the mint room, different kinds of events happened there, both events that he did. Sometimes he'd have jazz. It had a bar. And sometimes he would do other kinds of music. And I remember one year, WBGO had its Christmas party there. Okay. And I might have photographs from that because I have more photographs than I know what to do with. Anyhow, Mr. Howard loved WBGO, and he kept after me and wanting to do something with WBGO. And so I came up with some ideas. So this particular concert, I wanted Abby Lincoln, and she had just started working back in New York again. I don't know if you know, but she spent many, many years in California. Because once when she was living in California and she had come back to perform at the Vanguard, she told me, I'm never coming back here again. But she did. Artists are artists and they go through different phases in their lives. And whoever knows what makes them behave this way. And by the way, she was one of my musician, quote unquote, friends. I know tons and tons of musicians, but all of them weren't friends, as in girlfriends.
Right.
I can remember Abby calling me and leaving the most esoteric messages. This is pre-mobile phones. I would listen to my messages, and I would just be whatever, Abby to the phone. But anyhow, I wanted Abby Lincoln. And somewhere along the way, I always knew, and I think it dates back to Rahsaan, when you do events, you can't ignore the local musicians. You have to give them an opportunity, even though they might not be, quote unquote, a household name or internationally known. So I got Abby. She was like, okay. And I'll never say what we paid her because nobody would believe it anyhow. Okay. But remember, this was early 80s and money did go further.
Now, as the story goes, Abby Lincoln was not thrilled about coming back to the East Coast, but DK has always had a kindred relationship with musicians.
So I put together an all-star band of Newark musicians. I think that's what I called it, the Newark All-Stars. And it consisted of Leo Johnson, a saxophone player, and some other musicians. They were the opening group, okay? They all assembled right here in WBGO's performance studio because once I put them together, I said, now look, you all got to rehearse. This has to be really great. And this was eventually on NPR. So they were the opening group. Abby was the featured artist for the night. And the Baracas had a reception at their house before the performance. And a lot of people came to his house. Whenever he had anything, everybody that was invited. It was quite common. And so he had the reception. And then I went after this, I went on to the club. You know how the person in charge has to be sure, be there early and be sure of this, that, right, or the other. And so I went, and later on, Amiri and Amina and Nina came. And this dress, I don't know if you want to keep this in here, but that's why God made edit. This dress that Nina has on is very, very thin. It's like voile material. I don't know if you've heard that term.
No, I haven't.
But this dress was very thin. And why am I saying that to you? Because you could clearly see her underpants through this.
Oh, my gosh.
And they didn't bother her. She came to the club with this dress on that night to see Abby perform.
Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own. That's got his own.
Come on, y'all. Happy Lincoln, ladies and gentlemen.
Everybody had a good time, so on and so forth. And that's the history of this photograph.
Oh my goodness. That's beautiful. What were y'all sipping on here?
I had a martini. I don't remember what everybody else had. I think I had a martini, but that's not a martini glass. Maybe that was a toast champagne. It looks like we're toasting. My good friend, Pam Morgan, she was there that day. And you want to know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you want to know something interesting? Later on, because Pam retired from the Board of Education, I didn't know her at this time, but later on, we got to know each other. And indeed, we did a project here at WBGO with Newark school children. Mm-hmm. They were all given cameras, and they went out and they took photographs. The photographs got framed, and we did an exhibit here at WBGO with reception. Yes, that's one of the things I used to do here. And here's hoping it will come back when WBGO is ready, because it was a great, great, great community event. I exhibited any work from Romier Bearden to these school kids and everything in between. I'm amazed at what we all did and the wild ideas, mm-hmm, and how the wild ideas actually happened and were successful. See, we didn't have sense enough to think something wouldn't work.
Right.
So everybody just put their whole soul and everything into it, and it happened. But more importantly, it was just a handful of us, and we were all on the same page all the time. We didn't have sense enough not to be, you know? And never mind, we had a great, great leader in Bob Ottenhoff. He's special too.
Just so you know, Robert G. Ottenhoff, also known as Bob Ottenhoff, was the founder of Newark Public Radio and served as the inaugural general manager of WBGO-FM for nearly a decade, from 1977 to 1987.
I always say about him, everything he does, it turns to gold. He touches something and it just turns to gold. But that's because it's all from here, mm-hmm, from inside, you know.
Is that where you operate from too? From in here?
I have to. I've been given challenges over the years, and I didn't know how to say no. So what I did was tackled it and used all the resources that I had available to me, which is really important. Nobody knows everything. Mm-hmm. I used to reach out to George Wein, Julie Loken. I don't know if you know the name Julie Loken at produced concerts, because Julie produced concerts with Rahsaan when he was living. And I would quickly call them up. I'm thinking about doing this, that, or the other. What do you think about it? And I'll tell you the story when we talk about the New Year's Eve events, because 1 year later, it was December 31, 1990, I booked Nina Simone and her group and Lionel Hampton and his big band on our live across country New Year's Eve event at the Grand Hyatt. I have the huge poster framed at my house to prove it. And the tapes are here. Nina was living in Paris then, you know? I called up George Wein and I told him I was thinking of doing this. What do you think, George? He said, you're crazy. Because the last time Nina had been here, and Rick White and all the people that used to work for George can verify this. Nina came here to work for George Wein. I don't remember the venue.
Okay.
She flew into Kennedy, and for whatever reason, her head told her to not do the performance. She booked a flight, turned around, and went right back to Paris. This can all be verified. Then some years pass. Now WBGO is doing the live New Year's Eve, because that used to be done by Jazz Alive at NPR. Okay. But, and I won't tell a whole story how we came to present it. So I booked the New York portion, okay? And so we decided for the first part of these performances, we wanted a vocalist. For the last part of it, we wanted a big band and people could dance. That's how I came up with the concept of them. Okay. So I presented my idea to Anna Kossoff, who was the then general manager, and she said, let's go for it, DK. After I talked to George Wein, I was a little bit hesitant. So I said, okay, let me do some research. So I started with the bassist, Chris White. Chris White was Nina's bassist. I said, Chris, I'm thinking of doing this with Nina, blah, blah, blah. I need you to tell me if I should tackle this with BGO. So he gave me all the information I needed. He said she was fine. She had this lady that was her caregiver.
Right.
She was on medication. The lady saw to it that she took it and da-da-da-da-da. So he said, I'm going to give you Al Shackman's phone number. Al Shackman was her guitar player. Called up Al. So now I take this information back to the committee here at BGO. There was always a committee. And the general consensus was, let's go for it. So I'm dealing with Nina in Paris, Lionel Hampton and his people here in New York. So Al Shackman had given me the phone number and the name of the people to call. The guy's name was Raymond. And when I saw both documentaries on Nina. I saw him in the documentary.
I saw that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I saw Raymond. So this is what would happen. When I would come to work, one of my first things to do was get in touch with Raymond because of the time difference. I want to get started on this. Long story short, they said, okay, the money was great. WBGO flew Nina here. I went with the driver, Nilax car service, which was a black guy that owned it. Lewis took me to Kennedy Airport on, I think it was a Saturday morning. I can't really remember. Met Nina and the lady at the airport, took them to the Hyatt Regency. Oh, she was cordial. Everything went well. She did her rehearsals here in WBGO's performance studio. Because remember, her band people were here. They rehearsed in the performance studio. At the time, WBGO had its own built-in PR person, but we also used Carolyn McLear, an African-American female that I'm very proud of because she's been successful having her PR business from then to this day, which is not really that easy. So Carolyn was the PR consultant. Carolyn and I pretty much babysat Nina the whole time because whenever it was time for her to come for a rehearsal or anything, we were sure we were going to be there. And guess what? We did an interview with her on Hal Jackson's show in New York to promote the concert.
Oh my gosh.
And we tried to give Nina the world. And I will tell you this, all she wanted was fried chicken and hot dogs because she couldn't get Nathan's hot dogs in Paris, and she wanted fried chicken.
Listen.
It went off well, and she was just absolutely beautiful. And that's my Nina Simone story.
My baby just cares for, he just says his prayers for, my baby just cares for me.
It's all true. And there are people living that can verify all of this.
The Bright Moments podcast is a production of WBGO Studios. Special thanks to Dorthon Kirk. It's been my pleasure to spend so many hours in the studio with you, listening to these stories. This podcast is executive produced by Billy Robinson, hosted and produced by me, Jamara Wakefield.